This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Talking about a Broncos victory, 9-2, after beating the Kansas City Chiefs in a game that the Chiefs had to win in order to stay in the AFC West race. They're, as of right now, still like out on the outside looking in at the playoffs. I think that's going to be a hard sell to have the Chiefs miss the playoffs, although they have the Colts coming up. They're at Dallas. They have Houston. Anyway, we'll get into that. I want to talk about the upcoming schedules for all the teams kind of surrounding the Broncos. But for right now, it worked out. The Broncos beat the Chiefs 22-19, are now undefeated at home. And Michael, I asked, you know, buy or sell about Bo Nix. Is this going to be kind of a coming out party for Bo Nix this week? It was a good game. 295 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. He was sacked twice. But that was, we talk about Sean Payton not running the ball very well when you had J.K. Dobbins there. They, I mean, all but abandoned this thing. They ran it 21 times. They had some decent runs once in a while, but R.J. Harvey didn't look great until maybe that second half. He wore down that Kansas City defense a bit. But the fact that you didn't have a strong run game and you didn't have J.K. Dobbins and Bo puts out that kind of performance, that's one of the biggest games for him. Maybe not stat-wise, but the throws he was making, just absolutely phenomenal. And it's exciting to see like the next-gen stats for him. He completed 24 of 37 passes for 295 yards. He finished 6 of 11 for a season high, 171 yards on passes over 10 air yards, meaning he's throwing it 10 yards and then they're running with it a bit.
And he completed a long
including
one.
Including the 32-yard completion to Troy Franklin to set up the game-winning field goal. Was it a push-off?
Yeah. Okay. There were a lot of those, like, could have called one.
Yeah.
Called bad ones.
Well, listen.
It was very inconsistent.
There seemed like there was holding on Nick Benito every single play. So, I've been the opposite of you, Michael. I'm not going in on the whole Kansas City, the referees, all that stuff. So, to be fair, when maybe it could have been called something against the Broncos, I'm okay. We're gonna roll with it. That play, though, Denver's tried to do that a few times this year, try to salt games away, and it worked. You had the Chiefs, like, their communication was really bad on that play, and Bo kind of recognized it and found his guy, and he and Troy Franklin are really starting to connect right now. So that was a big, I was just so impressed with Bo. You know, a lot of the week we talked about was, is Bo Nix the difference, or is it Sean Payton the difference between being, well, I guess now 11-0 and where they are now 9-2? Those kind of performances from Bo, even just hitting on some of those long passes to extend drives. Mike, that final possession of the game was so awesome to see. Because it wasn't just the completion to Troy Franklin, a 32-yard pass. That was on 2nd and 8, and then that completion pretty much that won the game. And then you just have to have Will Lutz go out and do his thing. For a 35-yard field goal, that 35-yard field goal was blocked last year, if you remember, when the Broncos could have beat the Chiefs. This time around, they set up and got in the center of the field, and Will Lutz nails it. But I want to go back even further. There was a pretty significant 3rd and 15. Now, to start that possession, you have a 5-yard pass from Bo Nix to Pat Bryant. He gets a little shaken up on that play, but comes back in. Then it's a 10-yard penalty on Palcheski for holding. So now it's 2nd and 15. Bo Nix throws deep right, tries to find Franklin deep on that play, doesn't get him. Close, though. So now it's 3rd and 15. You're on your own 21-yard line. Game is tied 19-19. We're just north of the 2-minute warning. Who does Bo find in a critical moment? Sit down in the middle of a zone for a 20-yard pass. Cortland Sutton.
And I kept saying about time, because I don't remember him getting the ball other than that one where he had the first down.
Well,
that was the first down.
Yeah,
he just like.
One.
I don't know why a couple of times the receivers and running backs are like, I'm going to get 10 yards, so I'm just going to dance right in front of the first down, and then they don't get the first down.
Well, and Sutton, on that same possession, got the 5-yard first down when they had the virtual measurement, which showed that Sutton did get the first. His leg never went down. It was on top of a Kansas City defender's hand, so he rolls over, gets the first down. So critical plays by Cortland Sutton. And really, again, you go into this game. I heard some people say, a lot of people saying you're playing with house money, that the Broncos are playing with the house money. Mike, we talked about this on Friday, how important this game was. Because the rest of the way, if you lose this, then, okay, you got Washington after a bye. Do they bring Jaden Daniels back? What's your mentality? You've got a lot of injuries, although a lot of those dudes might be coming back for that Washington game, but still. You struggled with the Raiders. Is it going to be another struggle just because it's a rivalry game? You're on the road. There was nothing house money-y about this to me for the Broncos. Yes, they would have been 8-3. They would still be on top of the AFC West. But you got Green Bay, you got Jacksonville, you got another game against Kansas City, you got another game against the Chargers. Those final four games might be considered toss-ups in every single one. So winning that game. And then, obviously, if you can take this bye week, turn it around, get that focus on Washington and L.A., or Vegas, excuse me, the Vegas Raiders, they've changed so much. You could really create a stranglehold in the division. I don't think two games, plus the Chargers have the tiebreaker if they get up there. I don't think two games at this stage feels like a stranglehold. And one game, certainly not. So that was not the Broncos are playing with house money. You need to win that, because then suddenly I think the whole narrative changes. You have a 6-4 Kansas City team. You're 8-3. That game against the Chiefs late in the season, what is that, Christmas? That would set itself up to meaning everything. And Kansas City, especially Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, their history in big-time games would lead you to believe that that Christmas game could be dicey for Denver. What was amazing in this game, though, and this is usually a Kansas City, like, they get it done.
Especially after the bye. This was after the Chiefs'
bye.
Yes,
after the Chiefs' bye. The Broncos kind of had a mini bye. But, and Jaquan McMillan, stud, 2 sacks and an interception. He was jawing it up with Travis Kelce, man. He was setting the tone early. But that sack, he's running at him, jumps up in the air to try to make sure he blocks off anything Mahomes is going to throw, comes down, grabs, and brings him down. Of course, Mahomes looks up at the ref, begging for something. Helmet to helmet, begging for it. It was obvious. There was nothing there. And so you get the big sack. You force the Chiefs to punt that ball. And now you're in a position where we're either going to win the game or we're going to go to overtime. And I'm telling you, when it was 3rd and 15, I'm thinking, hopefully they can punt this bad boy to Narnia, because that's what you're going to need. And that was going to set up for a Patrick Mahomes final possession to go win this game and leave Broncos fans absolutely heartbroken. But instead, no huddle shotgun. Bo, poised back there in the pocket, finds a wide open Cortland Sutton. He brings it in, zero doubt. Huge first down. You get to the 2-minute warning. You get an R.J. Harvey 5-yard run. It's 2nd and 5. 3rd and 5. Again, to Cortland Sutton. in that catch where he rolls over and gets the first down. Big plays. Big-time players make big-time plays in big-time situations, and that's what you saw. You've seen it all year from the defense. Holding Kansas City to 19 points, beautiful. But when Travis Kelce got that touchdown, they took the lead for the first time in that game. A lot of times after that, that's when Kansas City makes a key stop. An offense doesn't show up to the moment. And, of course, they miss the extra point. You block the extra point. So that
was about fair play.
That was huge because when Denver ends up kicking a field goal to tie it, they wouldn't have made that decision. They would have had to try to go score, get a first down and try to score. So for Denver to do that, just so many key moments that Denver, they just rose to the occasion. And you just really love to see it. So now Denver sits at 9-2, and it sure feels like they control everything now. Pretty simple. There are what, 6 games left? You win 6 games, you win the AFC West, and then you are the number one seed. Now, that's not, the winning part is not going to be simple, but it is in front of you. Mathematically, you control all of it. If you can go and, I guess the Colts, right? The Colts are... The Colts are 2 losses, right, Mike? So they would still have the tie over you. You have the tiebreak over the Patriots, so I guess it's not 100% in Denver's control. But the Colts go to Kansas City this weekend, then home against the Texans. They go to Jacksonville. They go to Seattle. Home against the Niners. Home against the Jags. And then I think they have, is that Texans at the final game? They're at Houston.
Yeah, Murderer's Row.
Yeah, that's a tough road.
That's a lot of really good defense.
They could lose this weekend. Now, that'd be the best thing. Colts, right? I mean, you're kind of rooting for the Chiefs this weekend, right? You kind of need the Chiefs to beat the Colts. Then the Colts would be sitting at 8-3, and you would have the number one seed throughout, during your bye week. All you got to do is take care of 2 bad teams, get to 11. Maybe by then the Colts have dropped 2 games. Now you're talking about the number one seed realistically, Mike. You're seriously talking about a first-round bye for the Denver Broncos in Sean Payton's 3rd year as the head coach and Bo Nix's 2nd year as starting quarterback.
The Broncos' schedule is so much easier. Like, even if the Colts beat the Chiefs, they play the Texans twice, and they're getting CJ back. The Texans' defense is so good.
Yeah.
The Jaguars, look what they did. They're up and down, but look what they did to the Chargers.
Yeah. Oh, that
Seahawks.
Well, and the Bills
Seahawks
are coming off.
Dangerous.
Now, the Bills beat Tampa Bay, but before that, they get smoked by the Dolphins. So, and for the Bills, they got to go. They still have they got to go to Houston. They got a Steelers team, which is still a dangerous team. I guess we don't know for sure on Aaron Rodgers just yet how long he's going to be out, Mike. Then you have the Bengals, you're at the Patriots, you got a Browns game, you still have the Eagles to go for the Bills, and then the Jets. So there's 2 or 3 in there that could trip up the Buffalo Bills. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. Eastside Chris, Santa, it would be a nice Christmas present. Christmas Day, week 17, Broncos at KC, probably cold. Play the second team because everything is wrapped up for the playoffs. Yeah, but you're not going to bend, because that would be the second to last game, right? Wouldn't that be hilarious? The Broncos don't need that game against the Chiefs on Christmas. It comes down to it where they don't need that game.
Yeah, but the problem is you're putting in your players. You bench your players for 2 games.
Yeah, I know.
They're going to go into the playoffs cold.
There's no way they'll bench for Christmas Day, but maybe that Chargers one if they can lock up the number one seed before that, which is very, very realistic that this could happen, folks. Wow.
Now, you know me. I want to win every game. But if I'm the Denver Broncos, if I'm the coach, I would play them in both games.
Mm.
But I would play them sparingly in both games.
Yeah, I don't know. And the Broncos, this bye comes at a really good time because you're probably going to get Patrick Surtain back. You're probably going to get Alex Singleton back. That's big. For the fact that Singleton's like, yeah, I'm coming back. I'll be back for that Washington game. That's huge. Pay attention to the Washington situation because Jaden Daniels, will he come back? And would you bring him back? They're sitting at 3-8, Mike. They're not mathematically out yet.
I would bring him back.
Would you?
I would. If they're mathematically eliminated, I rest him a little bit.
they are going to be one game away from being mathematically eliminated. And that game against Denver could do it. Apparently, they're not flexing that game. That still will be Sunday Night Football, Broncos and Commanders. They tried. They toyed with it, but they're not going to do it.
So who said no?
I don't know. All I said was it's not. All I've read so far is that it's not going to be flexed.
Because I've heard that because doesn't CBS and Fox, they have a like limited number of.
Yeah, CBS. Yeah, there's a few of them where they can block. Like this Chiefs Broncos game, I think was the idea was let's move that to a primetime game. But CBS had a few of them they can block. That's certainly one of them. That
and
turned
they
out
said,
to be a big
we
one.
Want the ratings.
We want the ratings for that. Yeah, sure. So big weekend for the Broncos. We'll get more into that. And a good basketball weekend, too. Like I said last week, Brock's going to get tired of me saying it. We got the Brock Wisney show coming up. You can't win them all if you don't win your first three.
Who's Brock Wisney?
Brock Wisney. Star. Who? Superstar. Candidate for Big Sky Conference Player of the Year, Michael. That's who he is.
Is he that Montana guy?
He's looking right at you. You go get him, Brock. Go get him. Bears beat Pepperdine. Pepperdine made a furious comeback. We go into overtime in this game, but the Bears handle their business in OT, outscoring the Pepperdine Waves 14-7, and the Bears are 3-0. So we're going to talk to Brock Wisney about that coming up next. 21 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. It's Victory Monday. Broncos win, Bears win, Rams win, Nuggets win, Avs win. There's a lot of winning going on. Not so much for the college football scene, but basketball and the Broncos and the Avs. That's pretty good. We'll be right back.
For a complete rundown of all things high school football playoffs, listen to the postseason special presented by Clearwater Products, a Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Interior Sprinkler Systems presents the Brock Wisney Show on KFKA.
Don't look now, but the UNC Bears are perfect on the season. Now, I know when I said 2-0, Brock's like, yeah, I said, you know. Now 3-0, that's what you call win streak. It's officially a win streak,
all right.
Brock.
It's all right.
Brock Wisney in studio. We got the Brock Wisney Show presented by Interior Sprinkler Systems. Check those guys out at interiorsprinkler.com. Well, we talked about this Pepperdine game and this team. Like, what, you know, this is going to be a tough, interesting environment for you guys going out on the road against a pretty solid basketball team.
Yeah.
And you guys, first half, handle your business. Second half, they make a surge. Mm-hmm. We end up getting this thing into overtime. But you had some, I think you had 4 or 5 points in that overtime period.
Yeah.
And then your guy, Quinn Danker.
I
mean, he's still scoring to this day. Like, he's having one of those seasons, man.
Yeah, he went to work, you know. And on the road, when you get up at halftime, you know it's never going to be easy. And they made a surge. They've made a surge their other three games before that. So we knew that they'd be ready to come out, and we just had to take some blows. But
what do you do in those cases? Because, you know, most time in basketball games, unless it's like one team is just superior compared to the other one, but you know a team like Pepperdine, they make those surges. Basketball, when you have two decent teams, good teams, whatever, game of runs, that can happen. You knew it was going to come, but that's what separates, I think, you guys from being a decent team, at least at this stage, to being a very good basketball team, is you overcame that when it seemed like all the rhythm, all the momentum was on their side at one point.
Yeah, it's just about being consistent and disciplined, right? You know, we have certain values on defense and a certain game plan, and we know that they're going to make some shots, some tough shots. We know some stuff isn't going to go our way, but if we consistently apply that game plan and discipline and stay connected, you know, I think that it keeps you right in the game. So.
Man, here I am. As soon as Brock walks in, I'm like, dude, 16 points. You were perfect from the free throw line. Two
for still, two.
You can't make, you can't, if you got to make them.
I'll take it. I'll take you for two.
You made a couple threes. I think you're perfect from the three-point line, too.
Two for two.
Yeah. Kind of a theme. And the first thing you said to me was, but the turnovers.
Yeah.
Talking about the turnovers. Yeah. But you had a double-double, man.
Yeah, almost a triple-double, like I said.
you're focused on how do I get better. But you have the ball in your hands a lot. That's going to happen. But you're not excusing that at all. And you're like, I got to clean that up.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I expected that. A little bit of growing pains coming into this year. My usage is going to be a little bit higher than the past years.
Yeah.
And you see that, and I think that that's something I can work on, and I'm glad that I'm going through that now, because then, you know, I get better at it, and I can apply it and just learn from it, you know?
What was Pepperdine doing to you specifically to kind of force those turnovers?
Yeah, they did really well. They did a lot of digs, so they showed so many different looks to me. So they doubled sometimes, but they started the game not doubling. You know, the past two earlier games, I did well passing out of doubles, same with Colorado Christian and Colorado College. And, you know, obviously they had that film and they saw that, so they're like, oh, we can't double right away. But then they mixed in some fires later on. Mm-hmm. They mixed in some activity where they're using their hands and digging. So it was kind of learning from that. They showed me a lot of different looks, is what I would say.
When you get a game like that, obviously your opponents, when they're studying film, they're going to be studying that. But for you, you can counter that going, okay, this is what teams are going to try to do to me. Because I'm going to play, what'd you play, 40 minutes in this game?
Yeah.
I mean, the big three, you guys are putting in the minutes for sure. I think all three of you guys were around that 40-minute mark.
Yeah.
We know the ball is going to be in your hand a lot, and that's going to be something that's out on tape. Is like, hey, if we get after this guy and aggressive, dig at this guy, we're going to have a chance to commit some turnovers. But you can study that film on the other end and say, okay, I know what teams are going to be trying to do to me.
Yeah, it gives me a chance to learn from it. And since I've seen it and I see the results, I can obviously get back on the court and just, you know, apply those things that I've learned and learn how to play against it. And I think I'll be ready the next time. So
going into overtime, what's kind of the message? It's very brief. You don't have a whole lot of time to sit and chat about it. But what is that message as you're preparing for the OT period?
I mean, so we hit that three to go up with like one possession left. And I'm like, oh, God, like, thanks, Zach. Thank you. And, you know, we go back and they hit that three, you know, kind of at the buzzer almost. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And so at first I'm like, man, my body hurts. I don't know. But then we're like, okay, guys, like the thing that I told the team that we're saying is like, who wants it more right now? And I'm like, we want it more than them, and we just got to show that. You know, that's the quick message. It's just about digging deep and finding that extra energy, you know?
Well, and that's what's so tough when you have a game that's just back and forth like that for a while. You guys kind of, you were up in this game.
Yeah.
Pepperdine just never went away.
Yeah.
They never went away in this one. And that can be exhausting there.
It can be.
There's a lot of different stories of a basketball game, but sometimes just hanging on to a lead, and then when you finally see it get close like that, that can mentally be draining at times, on top of being physically drained.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, that when you always want to put a team away, because then it just makes the rest of the game a little easier. But, you know, I think that we have a consistent team, a hard-nosed team that, regardless of the game situation, I don't think it's going to change our effort. And I think that's a pro and a strength of our team.
Getting off to a quick start in OT, I mean, I always look at that because that could be
it's huge.
That could be tough when they get the first bucket or two. That's when that mental warfare starts coming in. But for you guys, I think Shields got to the free throw line to start that OT period. Just sometimes getting that first couple of baskets or getting the first couple points can be huge.
Yeah, it's just a 5-minute war. That's what it is. It's 0-0 again. It's like the start of a game. And, you know, whoever wins that first war is who wins the game, you know, right? So, I mean, you know, getting a little bit under your belt and just feeling comfortable gives you a little bit of leniency for the rest of that overtime period.
You get up by two with those free throws, and then it's kind of back and forth for a bit. You get that three.
Yeah.
You get that
three. Well, I think so. We actually got up by eight.
Was that eight?
We went on an 8-0 run.
8-0 run,
And they obviously got back in a little bit, but I think it was Egan at the free throw line, and then I believe I hit a three, and then a little move got up 8-0, and they got some extra buckets. But when you get up 8-0 right away in overtime, it creates it. So it's hard for them to get back into it.
It's such a weapon for you as a big man. You know, we're seeing it now more and more. Guys, big men they have that in their tool belt, being able to hit that long ball. And that was a critical moment for you right there to hit that three. Because, again, it puts you guys up by five at that stage. And I think Quinn got the free throws. But that's a luxury when you can have your big man hit threes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've worked on it for a while, and I'm glad that it's finally coming to fruition. And it's not that my teammates or coaches never believed in me. We just never needed it.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, our teams have always traditionally been really good at shooting, and now it's finally time for me where they need me to step up and make some shots. And I'm glad to step into that role.
What is it that you do to prepare to really add to that three-point game? Because, again, it's not like you couldn't shoot it. It's not that people didn't believe that you could shoot it. We've seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
But now it kind of does feel like that's part. I think even Smiley talked about it as we rounded out the season last year of how much of a tool that might be for you the following season is that three ball.
Yeah, you know, I mean, first of all, it's, you know, feeling comfortable enough to shoot it in games. That starts in practice, right? Just feeling comfortable to get some shots up. But it's been long, you know, consistent application for me. I've been practicing that for 4 years. I've been here a while, and I've put up shots every day. It just never happened. And, you know, after 4 years, it's finally happening, and I'm excited that I can show that off and glad that the work, you know, came to fruition a little bit.
Yeah. How does it feel being 3-0 at this point?
It's good, you know, but focused on the next one, right? It's a long season.
Well, speaking of long season, this weekend's going to be long because this is that tournament, and we'll get into the details on this a little bit later, but this is the Portland Invitational. You're going to play Friday night, you're going to play Saturday night, and you're going to play Sunday noonish kind of thing. Yep. So three games in a row.
Yeah.
This will – you guys like this. We talked about it. You want this because this is very much how the Big Sky Conference tournament goes.
This is what it's going to be, right? And that's going to be Smiley's message to us. Obviously, we're going to take it one game at a time, as we should, but – you know, it's just going to be about, you know, who's the harder team, the tougher team. And when it comes to that second and third game, guys are all tired on both sides. And it's just going to be who can push through.
A lot of times at the beginning of the season, it's interesting to see how things work. But so much about what this Bears team is, and this is not taking away from a lot of the other guys that are going to be stepping up. And we're going to be talking about them more and more. But it does seem to start, at least from my perspective, with the Bears' big three. And that's you, and that's Quinn Danker, and that's Zach Block. Zach is averaging 16 points per game. Quinn is averaging 15, and you're averaging 14. That's kind of what we thought would go into this. We're going to see other players step up and make big plays. I know that. We're going to have those games. But so much has been talked about this big three, and you guys kind of holding this core together.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a great formation of a team here. You know, we got the leaders, but all the other guys are just coming along just as well. You know, our team chemistry it's off the charts right now, and we're enjoying being on the road together. So, you know, obviously we have to stay leading, but the other guys are doing just as much, if not more, than us.
Yeah, so. No, it's exciting to see at this stage where you guys sit. All right, so here we go. You're going to be doing the game ball.
Yeah,
I'll be curious how we're going to do. On Monday, we'll have three games to go over.
I can give you all three.
We'll do all three.
I'll be ready. Yeah.
So we'll do all three. Here's how the first game, Colorado College, Quinn Danker. You gave it to Quinn Danker. Against Colorado Christian, you gave it to Zach Block. I mean, against Pepperdine, where are you going on this, Brian?
Yeah.
I think I know where you're going.
Yeah, I think you know where I'm going. I'm going with Quinn Danker again. You know, 26 points, I believe, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. It's very, very hard to not give that guy, you know, the game ball with that stat line. And he does just as much that's not on the stat sheet just as much as on. So.
Well, and for a point guard, too, I mean, the way he's rebounding.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's right there with, like, tied with second, you know, right around second
he's
on the team.
He's tough, man. He's tough.
He is a tough point guard, man. He doesn't, like, he's sound the way he plays. Like, he's an immovable object, it seems like. He's very sturdy.
Very.
And as you've talked to us, both mentally and physically, we see that on the floor. But 26 points and 8 boards for him, man.
Yeah.
He got to the line 13 times, 9 and 13.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. But, you know, when we're in the game, we don't really focus on who's having a good game and who's not, obviously for shot-making purposes. But I think that we're so well-rounded that and we're so unselfish that we just take what comes to us, right?
Yeah.
And so it comes to the end of the game, we're like, wow, Quinn had 26, and Zach had 16.
You had 16.
I had 16. You know, we don't really focus on that. We kind of just take, you know, what's open. And I think that's the beauty of it. So
it's a team effort right now. No question about it. Starting off 3-0. So we're going with the Brock Wisney game ball of this game, at least the Pepperdine game. We're going to go Quinn Danker. Quinn's got two.
Quinn's got it.
You
got
to keep him grounded. You don't want him to get a big head with two
game
balls.
No, maybe I'll take him out of one. I'll cheat him. But
37 minutes after the hour, let's talk about this this Portland Invitational and how you guys view that, because it is different than what you're normally dealing with until the Big Sky Conference tournament. So we'll get into some of that on the other side. It's the Brock Wisney Show presented by Interior Sprinkler Systems. Check them out online at interiorsprinkler.com. We'll be right back.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado, there's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
The Bears win in overtime against Pepperdine, 88-81. UNC now 3-0 early on in the season. Coming up next for UNC, they go to the they have the Portland Invitational. We've talked about this one a lot. These tournaments are always interesting. They're way early most of the time because it's in your non-conference portion of your schedule. But it does give you a really early preview of what that tournament's going to be like. Not that you don't know. You've been in it. We know what you guys did last year. But just kind of refresh that and just how much of a task that truly is, because you guys go from, especially once you get in the conference, it's two games a week typically, and then suddenly you get into the Big Sky Conference tournament, and if everything goes the right way, you got to win three games, right? You got to win three.
Three games in 3 or 4 days, and you know, there's so many different things that go into it, like who's able to prep the quickest, who's able to game plan and scout the quickest, and who's able to take care of their bodies the best, you know? I mean, when you look at, like, from game to game, a lot of it comes down to how close are these games. Like, did someone go into overtime the night before and someone else won by 30 so they could sit their starters out, right? So
true.
There's a lot of different, you know, aspects that come to those games, but it's really going to be who's the toughest and more resilient team. So
you play St. Thomas on Friday, and it looks like 5:30. Is that, was that when that game is? And then the next game, you go up against Portland Saturday at 6 o'clock. And then to end it out, you got Fullerton at it looks like noon on that one. So good, interesting stretch there of these games.
It is, you know, and we want to get St. Thomas back, and we played them last year at home, and they got us. So that's an exciting one, and we'll be more focused on that, you know, coming into it this week. And I think that we'll leave the prep for the other games really almost till after. So that night we'll go through prep and walk through and all those sorts of things. So it's quick turnarounds for especially the last two, and we'll just have to be dialed in for those.
Yeah, how does that change? Because, you know, the way it's gone these first 3 weeks, you've had a game a week, or either early
long
in the week,
prep
or
times.
You get long prep time. But now, you know, you've got, I'm assuming the coaches on the Portland scout and on the Fullerton scout, they've already got their stuff ready, but it hasn't really been put out to you guys yet because you're, like you said, you're focused on St. Thomas first.
Yeah, they're not going to show that stuff to us, those second two games. So we'll do St. Thomas this whole week going into that game, and we'll be prepping on that. But when it comes down to, you know, the next game on Saturday, we'll, after that game on Friday, that night we'll come together, we'll watch film, we'll go through personnel, and the next morning we'll do a little walkthrough. I don't think we're going to have practice time on the court with all the games. So we'll do that, and then the same thing for that night. After the Portland game, we'll do the same thing at dinner, prep, walk through, and just get ready for it.
Well, and even in the Big Sky tournament, at least you've played those teams, you know, two other times in the year. So the scout, there's going to be a
them
different
already,
scout,
yeah.
but you know them. That's what the challenge will be.
Yeah.
You know, Portland especially. Well, I think Portland's pretty good, but
yeah.
Fullerton's supposed to be pretty good, but then they got kind of beat up by Wyoming.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't know.
We don't know, but we just have to wait until the game time and just approach everyone the same. You know, I've been saying it, you know, with the non-won games, same with the Pepperdine, just approach it with the best that you possibly can.
Man, 3-0, though. That's got to feel good,
good
so
start.
Far
yeah.
to get this thing going. I always get like, once you get to that 6-win mark or so, then it's like, holy cow, when is this Bears team going to lose? You guys could do that this weekend, but it's going to be a challenge, no question about it, just because it's every night, and then scouting for those teams and preparing. So it is a unique challenge.
It is.
But it does it after this tournament, when you guys get back down to the regular, you'll play Air Force on a Wednesday, and then you play like Regis on a Saturday, does that make it a little bit easier? I know you have another kind of tournament thing coming up in December, but does that make some of these regular games feel a little bit easier once you go through something like that?
Yeah, you know, this is probably our longest, toughest stretch. We got 5 games in 9 days. And once we get through that, it feels a little slower. You know, the game slows down a little bit, the game time. So, I mean, if we can get through this and prepare well, it'll leave us at a good spot, you know, going into the rest of non-conference.
How are we feeling? Everybody feeling healthy at this point?
We're good, man.
You know, everybody's, you know, and it was an exhausting game for you guys.
I'm old, man. My body body hurts a little, but other than that, you know, nothing serious, no injuries, so it's good.
What's you know, a game like that where you're playing 40 minutes because of the overtime period?
Yeah.
What's the process like after? I mean, are we icing or what are we doing?
We should be doing that stuff. I kind of just hit a little gas station, got some Airheads. I like to treat myself after a game just with a little package of candy. I don't normally, you know, treat myself, but I did that, and I think that was a bad decision because I woke up at like 2 or 3 a.m. I cramped so bad, my hamstrings, and I was like, I couldn't go back to sleep. But
so, well, yeah, what do you do when you're cramping like that, man?
I just got to wait it out, stretch your leg, you know. I woke my roommate up. I was like yelling. I'm like, oh, I'm cramping, man. I'm cramping.
Oh,
but,
man.
Yeah,
who's
it's still
roommate,
part of it.
By the way, it's a
it was Ring.
Ring. Okay.
Yeah, Ring was on the pass too. They sometimes mix it up, but I think that'll be my roommate throughout.
That's
the year.
Okay. We'll is that good? Yeah. It's good, right? Because you kind of develop, you know each other.
Get to know someone well. Yeah,
stuff,
my last year's one was Tayshaun, and it was a lot of fun. You know, get to know guys, have some late night conversations.
Yeah,
and whatever.
How much of those conversations are spent talking basketball, or do you guys try to talk about other stuff?
Like 20%.
Is it really?
Yeah. We'll talk about, you know, the court and stuff, but otherwise we're just like, how you doing, man? Like, I like to, you know, get to know their backstory a little, connect on a deeper level sometimes.
It's the leadership factor right there. Brock will wrap up the show coming up next. The Brock Wisney Show, brought to you by Interior Sprinkler Systems. It's an exciting time in this state for sports, and what I like about it is it's really exciting for the local college basketball scene too. We're adding on all of this. I mean, the Nuggets are rolling, the Avs are rolling, the Broncos are rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And our local colleges are cooking right now.
It's going well.
That's going very well. We'll take a short break here, wrap up the Brock Wisney Show on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Get ready for the college football weekend with Rocky Mountain College Kickoff. Fridays at 2 and an encore, Saturdays at 7. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Holt.
The Brock Wisney Show, presented by Interior Sprinkler System. Shout out to Shane. I know he probably missed seeing you guys.
Yeah.
You know, when you went to, where was it, Maui? Is that
yeah,
right?
You went Malibu.
To Malibu, there we
Maui.
Go. Maui. Knew it started with
that'd
an M.
That would have been nice.
Knew
yeah.
it started with an M. We got that right. Malibu.
Yeah.
And then you'll be on the road, with this tournament coming up, too, in Portland. So we'll be back at home for a bit. We were just talking about the holiday schedule, too, for you guys.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one.
It is.
Because you play the Buffs on December 28th, so a couple days after Christmas. And you start Big Sky Conference play the first day of the year on New Year's Day.
Yeah, we do. I mean, you know, that's just how it is most every year. Get it through non-conference, and the new year is the new conference, so we'll see how it looks.
I was like, dude, you don't get much of a break. And Brock's like, dude, we get 4 days.
Yeah, that's the best we've had.
4 days. Yeah, that's pretty good. So we'll get into that. It's amazing how fast it goes. But so far, so good for this UNC Bears team.
Yeah.
3-0, and I know it'll be an interesting week just trying to adjust and prepare for this tournament. Because like you said, you're looking at St. Thomas first, but, you know, quickly you'll have to prepare for the next two games because they're coming no matter what.
Yeah, you know, I think that we'll be ready for it, and in those quick turnarounds I think that we do well. It's about the more mature team, and we'll be locked in, I'm sure.
I'm excited for it, man. Friday night.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going to be locked in. I'm going to lock in on this game Friday night.
I hope so.
Yeah,
we'll see.
We got that one. It's been exciting. I don't know how much you're following. Like, the Broncos beat the Chiefs yesterday. That was a big deal.
I watched it.
What'd you think?
It was good.
Yeah.
I like how it looked. I would love that.
Packers are coming to Denver here.
You know,
week.
I like the Packers, sure, but I'm a hometown guy.
You're
too,
gonna root.
So.
You're still gonna go against Pops, and you're gonna root for the Broncos.
Yeah, I think so. I would love to see the Broncos do well. You know,
hey, they're sitting at 9-2, man. You got to feel pretty good about like a 12-13 win season. Maybe.
That'd be pretty cool.
I mean, we haven't seen that kind of thing since when Peyton Manning was here doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
How old were you when that was going on?
Man, I remember exactly. I was in sixth grade when they won the Super Bowl. I remember we did like a school like kind of gathering, and we all wore our Broncos stuff. It was a fun time. That's why, like, I have good memories. You know, yeah. when the hometown team is doing well, everybody's excited, and there's a good little vibe going around.
It's an exciting time, man. And the college football scene hasn't been so great, but luckily the basketball scene's picking up too.
My college football scene's been good. Notre Dame is doing well.
Notre Dame's doing very good. Yes, yes. That one, at least when you have your teams that you grew up following, obviously for obvious reasons, that always makes it a little bit easier to
take. It does. Yeah. It does.
Brock, my friend, great job as always. We've given out three game balls. Quinn Danker has two of those bad boys.
Yeah.
So we'll see who's going to come out with this three-game stretch between St. Thomas, Portland, and Fullerton coming up this weekend.
Yeah, we'll see what goes on. Maybe Quinn comes back with five of them.
Dude, he keeps playing like that. And again, full disclosure, Brock's not going to give himself a game ball. I might actually have to convince you.
No, it won't be happening.
What if you get like 30 points?
Well, someone passed it, like I said last time.
Yeah. That's how it's going. Brock, great job, man. We'll catch up with you. Good luck this weekend. My friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right. The Brock Wisney Show, presented by Interior Sprinkler Systems. Visit their website, interiorsprinkler.com. Coming up next, we got top stories of the day. We'll go over the weekend of hoops, including the UNC Bears. Those Denver Nuggets are red hot, even with some of the big injuries. Top stories of the day, coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.